Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to be back. I'm Doug Moran. I'm the Senior Vice President of All New Properties. With me is Gary Unterberg, Rogers Consulting. We're going to tag team this presentation to you this morning. I'm not going to go over the big description of the full project that you had the last time we were here. You gave us a lot of really good input and feedback. We reviewed all of those comments, discussed them among our team, and I think we've come up with a response that hopefully will capture the suggestions that you gave us. So I'm going to focus mostly on those. This first exhibit is what we call the district map. The Battery Lane District is outlined in blue. I think it's important for us to understand those boundaries and to reinforce them and to create a character within that district that clearly distinguishes it from the other parts of the present. So what's important about that, you can see Battery Lane itself is a potential unifying element if we treat it in a very important residential treatment, as well as the trolley trail from north to south, again, provides for this important unifying element. So you look at each of those. If you look at the east Woodmont Avenue, that's an entrance to this new district. It would be very residential in character, in contrast with Woodmont, which is commercial mixed use. So again, you know you've entered into a district that's different from the Woodmont Street. Similarly, to the north, as you come down from NIH and the campus and the openness of that, you would come through Greenway Linear. It again would signal to you that you've entered into a new district. You're not on the campus anymore. It's something different. The west, similarly, you come down Old Georgetown, an arterial road, busy road, commercial road, but has some residential uses and institutional uses. You would turn into Battery, that character would change dramatically into this new residential street. And then finally, from the south, as you come up from the Woodmont Triangle area, you would enter to the urban park along the trail. Again, this character would change. It would be this new residential, strong residential Battery Lane district. So within that, what takes on then really significance is where that intersection occurs of the trail and Battery Lane. And that's where you need to create a very special place, a unifying place that really becomes the symbol, if you will, of this neighborhood. So I think with that, we can go on. I want to stress a couple more things. Embedded in this idea of this residential district is the idea of connecting, making connections. Sure, in the traditional way of physical connections, improving accessibility, connectivity, and that physical mobility sense, but also in creating opportunities for social connections and environmental system connections. We think it's really a tremendous opportunity to weave all of that together, to take the new developments that we're showing and weave them together with the existing buildings and sites so that we create an urban fabric. And that urban fabric then has to really reinforce the residential character of this area. We can strengthen it, we think, through the treatments we're going to present to you, as well as sustain it. So those are two goals we have. So let me get to the next. Did we skip the illustrative one?
That was the
system
previous.
Okay, sorry. I didn't finish the discussion. So what this shows is, again, this connections that we're talking about. And so in the physical sense, you're proposing to take Battery Lane and changing the allocation of space within the existing curb to curb. We want to de-emphasize the vehicle and emphasize pedestrian and the biker and create a much better environment for both of those users. We also want to improve and encourage transit use. And Gary will get into specifics of what that means in terms of the section of the street and the elements within that. The social part of this is very important. The circles we talk about, the moments where social interaction would be encouraged, where you would bump into neighbors. We could have activities, either informal or formal, and programmed events and things like that. And there would be a sequence as you go along Battery Lane where these circles exist of design moments, if you will, of some variation, something that's introduced that would continue to enhance that experience of going down Battery Lane. And then finally, you see the arrows. It's this notion of an environmental system, a connection of that. And we're talking about the collection and conveyance of water that you would visually experience, how that took place from the green roofs down to surface conveyance that would meet and then terminate at the NIH outfall. You would also have that sense from street trees and the green that we're going to be proposing, and Gary will talk about the details, how that links and connects to the park and over to the campus, so you get a sense of that environmental relationship. Energy efficiency, other things like that in these new buildings, all of that connectivity to environmental systems, again, social connectivity, physical connectivity, we think will create a really special residential district. Why don't you do the sections?
Okay. So as Doug mentioned, one of our big ideas, being a little bit inspired by you all, was how can we get more green space within the street, within the lane? There's some discussions about adding a single tree or maybe a double tree as you travel from east to west. But what we did do is look at how we could incorporate a third tree, an additional tree within the road. And that idea was to, within the curb, the existing curb of the road, we need to introduce a 10-foot two-way cycle track for bikes. And instead of having the painted island with the plastic bollards, there's enough room in the road to introduce a 6, 7, 8 foot tree median, which is this median here. Existing curb. And that allows us to introduce an additional tree, primarily the length of Battery Lane, bring that up, provide a true landscape separation, protect the bikers, the Vision Zero, all the other catch races that are going on. But this does truly enhance and celebrate the bike lane with the landscape. And we've got a couple of sections. The other thing, big idea, what we'd like to do, and we're exploring, and there's going to be further discussions with DOT and the county. I don't know, Elsie, if you've had any other discussions, but those are where we're just starting this journey. We'd like to establish a language or a signature design language for Battery Lane. And that would include our street lights, our benches, our trash receptacles. There are certain street lights, obviously, for Bethesda, but we'd like to establish a new street light for Battery Lane and then work with the county on that. And this is just some precedent images of if we do some type of street light, possibly introduce different paving, a lot of Bethesda's brick. I think there's an opportunity to do some type of sport or color concrete, but again, to have the purpose would be Battery Lane, which has its own signature. This shows you a little bit how we do separate that bike lane and establish it with the landscape median, how that's the best of all worlds. This is going to create it in new ways with environmental systems, stormwater, and how we can incorporate that and link all of with that, we have a couple different sections. This is up front with primarily site A and B. I'll go back to the map in a second.
Is curb to curb just 39 feet basically everywhere?
Yeah, it varies a little bit, and I think we're showing about a 7-foot island right now. Mm-hmm. So the intent would be to hold this curb.
Yep.
Bike lane, we're keeping the crown or the center line, so this all slopes one way, and then we keep the curb on that side.
Okay.
But we put the new median in the road, and then if there's a little taper, a little variation to that, you can make that up in the median. The part of this is we would have two travel lanes, 11 foot. We would take across from the park. The one thing that we did do at Site D, these are designed as townhouse facades where we have stoops on the street, and then they face this landscape and streetscape. And last but not least, with the park, what we're thinking of doing is we did widen. We were able to reduce the footprint of this building, it did get taller, which is the information in the packet. But we were able to, we're about 17, 20 feet right here. This is now 50 feet. And then we've widened this also, this is about 30 feet. And then we've enlarged this whole area in the middle for our gathering place. But what we're envisioning is, again, that we would, using the easement that's also on our neighbor on the Sunrise property, we would establish a 10-foot, two-lane bike trail. And then we would separate, and you can see where we're within, using the 10-foot plus our 50 feet, we're about 60 feet, and that's in this location. But we would separate the pedestrians from the bikers, and then incorporate that into our plaza gathering space design, and really make that a special place. And I'm going to go back to, and as we go, this is one of our nodes that we will make a focal point and a sense of arrival. Our crossroad and the crossing, which is again the bikes crossing the road, we're envisioning that as a raised crosswalk. The bikes have precedence or priority, and then the road or cars would either have to stop or navigate that bump at the park. And then we hit our 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
We did move a few of the buildings back, as you suggested would be an improvement, where we thought we had space to do that. And trying to get it introduced green from building faces, green to the sidewalk, the street trees, and so forth, as he's described in the section.
Yeah, so a couple things we did do. This building, we moved back 5 feet to 25. It was 20 before. Stonehall, which is right next to us, that's actually 15 feet from the curb. So that's their one-story piece of that building projects further off. We've held Site B, it's roughly 20 feet from the curb, and then there's a little bit more room as the, this is a three-lane profile, so you don't see the median here because we have the left-hand turn lane, so we're working with that. We are emphasizing that this corner be an iconic corner, and as we follow up and come through in future design as a priority. This node, which is at Site C, we had our drop-off, our Uber, our Lyft area. The one thing we did do with our loop road, which will come more details to come in our sketch and preliminary plan package, we're envisioning this right now as a one-way loop that comes through for vehicles. This portion would be two-way. The one thing we did do before, we had a garage entrance here. We've removed that. So this enables us to get more green space on this portion of the loop road and our future pedestrian connection. This, again, we would have townhouse facades on that part of the building where we have the stoop and the dooryards and the front doors. But by making that one-way section with parallel parking, we're able to green that up a little bit more. That's our current thinking. This building we held at is about 20 feet from the curb. But we were able to, this is, went up two stories, but then we were able to widen this whole area and then enlarge our gathering space. And then last but not least, our E building. What we did do, we had the vehicle entrance over here. We were able to flip that on the straightaway, better sight distance. There's some comments on that. But we were also able to, that building now is set back 30 feet from the curb. So we moved that back. That was about 25 before, so we were able to move that back. So those are highlights on those items.
Right, and to be clear too, we wanted to show a comprehensive approach of what the neighborhood, the district could ultimately be. Obviously, some of these are dependent upon other owners and other entities, other organizations to participate, contribute, and work on achieving this vision. But we think it allows you to really understand that we think this could be the premier residential place in the rest.
Close on that.
You know, it, Just came to mind when you were talking about the stormwater and sort of the integration of that neighborhood. There's a neighborhood in Seattle, South Lake Union area of Seattle, just east of that, so where the REI headquarters is, right sort of west of Interstate 5. That whole neighborhood is more of a district, sort of a residential district. There's a couple, you know, there's the REI and a Geico, I think, headquarters, and then Amazon is all throughout that area. Anyway, the whole residential neighborhood has been densified and sort of a medium to high-rise neighborhood. But it's very interesting how they've integrated all of the stormwater to the point where there are rain gardens along every street. There are elements within kind of the alleys and in the back courtyards that sort of tie it together, stormwater. There are, exposed tanks at the base where you could, you know, like the old wood tanks you used to see on top of the buildings down below. So you see where the rainwater is captured from the roof and then reused. You know, there is a whole integrated system there that I think is really, really pretty cool, actually. And you can really enjoy it as you're walking around that neighborhood. It might be something that you can look at just to see how they've done that.
So I missed the first time you were here. How are the improvements to Battery Lane implemented? Is it all at once? Is it piecemeal? Is it how does this happen?
Yeah.
I know that we're still working on it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry if I'm repeating.
No.
Because this whole tree median was, this is new from last meeting.
Yeah, and we've gone through, quite honestly, several possible ways in which to implement this over time. We think the most important thing to do, it will happen over time. This, even for what we're representing, we will redevelop as a 10-year to 12-year building.
Understood.
But what we think is important is to reallocate the space within that street sooner. And that might not be a medium, but it might be painted or temporary bollards to say, here's the two-way bicycle, here's the pedestrian, here's the vehicular space. So that gets established earlier. But then clearly, the building, the median, the trees, and all of that is going to happen incrementally as we redevelop and other properties might contribute and build that system.
But I think the introduction of the median, as you proposed, one of my perceptions of the entire street is that it, even though it's not physically that wide, it appears to be a vast amount of paved area today. And I think the idea of giving up 21 curb spaces for a dedicated bike path, and the most important thing that comes out of that is the tree canopy that will be increased substantially by a third.
Yes.
When you add trees in the median, that goes a long way to creating this garden district imagery that we talked about last time. So I'm really very excited about that part. And even if it only happens incrementally, when it gets to a certain point, there may be enough pressure on the county, et cetera, to finish that component so that you're beginning to have a basis for whatever future development remains to respond to. The other thing I'm thrilled about is the fact that you're acknowledging the node aspect of a sequence of events that happen along the street. I think that they don't have to be amazing architectural statements, but just the idea that you're organizing a linear space in a series of pauses or moments in time is going to work very well. I also think the ability to increase the width of the pedestrian movement towards NIH is huge. It's a positive development that we talked about last time. It does impact the height of those buildings, and there will be some adjacency issues that you're obviously, based on the correspondence we've already seen, that are legitimate, I think, to a certain degree. So I think that still remains to be resolved during the sketch plan process. But I just want to offer my appreciation for thinking out of the box in terms of medium.
So For all the lost 21 parking spaces, where to make those up, or you just, they're just gone, right? I really appreciate that, having so much more green, it's great.
Right.
But just, would that create any parking issues? I'm just curious.
Well, I don't think so. I say that because right now the existing properties, the ones we're going to redevelop, have surface parking that's underparked for the amount of residents that currently live there. I think in the redevelopment and also in the way we're behaving and the use of our cars to go places, and that the lack, that removing those spaces will not be detrimental. I think that it'll be all right.
So a family comes to use the park, they come by car, where would they park?
Would you pick up, you're proposing parallel parking along Building C, correct?
Correct.
Would you pick up, how many spaces would you pick up there?
There's about 8 or 10 spaces in the last year.
That's half of them.
That would be for public?
They technically be on private, whether we regulate those or not, that's a good question.
But so my question is, do people come have a picnic in that park with a family? And where do they park now, and where would they park in the future? Because not everybody comes by bike, not everybody comes by foot or stroller, et cetera.
I mean, it's a good question to look into. Like, I used to live right around here, and we used Battery Lane Urban Park all the time, but I never drove it, we just walked.
Right.
But I mean, I guess perhaps people do drive there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even if no parking, where do you drop people off
right
to each of these buildings? You know, do you have to drive into the building to drop someone off at the front door? You know, that's, I think, ultimately that will have to be answered. So I would think you might want to have, do you need 22 spaces? Maybe not. But, you know, maybe a space here or there, that would be a you know, sort of a quick 15-20 minute thing where you can drop people off. Or
well, you have that Uber place, right?
Yeah, so most places. Well, we have the loop here, we have the Uber drop off. This comes in your courtyard, and your access to the parking is internal. Mm-hmm. This is the longer, skinnier side, you're pretty much straight into a garage underneath. This comes in with the shared on actually this side comes into a garage underneath. So we're trying to get, for our sites, get people into the sites. Mm-hmm. We did highlight, and this is we've had a number of questions that are internal. This is the main crossroads moment, you know, the bike trail crossing, the street. But, and as we did do, we boxed this whole frontage with the park off, and is there an opportunity with parks to do something more creative, and, you know, the food truck trend or the event trend, do you do maybe a little bit wider portion of the road on the park frontage for special events or maybe temporary parking or other uses with the park, which would have to be coordinated.
We'll look at it. I mean, it may be too. Yeah. There's parking on Rugby.
Also, I think it's important to mention that, you know, this is a public street. So if this were a private street and a private development, then I think it would be incumbent upon the applicant to solve all those questions. I think, you know, this is a very complicated multi-agency, essentially public-private partnership to realize this, and there's going to be, and so there are a lot of ideas here, and when we saw it, we had the very same first question: how do you actually do this? The parking question is very important. You know, a lot of the things that are in here are going to have to be worked out. So what's in some ways convenient for the applicant is that as part of their sketch plan, you know, they don't need to solve this. They're just sort of raising the question, but it's something that really the public agencies, our department, DOT, parks will have to sort out sort of as we go.
But you think there'd be a fund that you put money into the fund, and the fund would then implement the plan, and the plan should be coordinated. So I think their heart's in the right place. I'm just concerned that everything it's very straitjacket. And we know what's happening with Lyft and Uber. They're destroying, you know, movement in the city. because they double park and triple park, et cetera, to pick up people, and people are late coming out of the apartment building to get in, and so they paralyze, you know, the system, because, you know, they're not, you know, regulated in a way. So I'm a little bit concerned that it's one size fits all, as opposed to having some pull-offs, you know, some zones that are not all exactly the same in front of different buildings and in terms of different situations like the park. You know, because the park is unique. And
the south side of the street actually could accommodate periodic.
Yeah, exactly.
The north side can't because of the median.
Right.
But I think that might be enough.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
So I think the aspirations are right.
They are terrific.
Yeah.
I think the aspirations are right. Yeah, there's some complexity associated with pick up on what Paul's comments are. You know, I've made many business trips to Holland, and that's the bike capital of the world. And there, most of the roads have dedicated bypass, separated by medians or physical barriers, not by these tubes that stand up. As well as they, you know, they're really very much into bioretention, rain gardens, and great, beautiful examples. The one little nit I'd make is, if you are talking about sustainability, when I look at those light fixtures, they look like the old HID light fixtures, not the more modern LED light fixtures out there. They become a symbol, in fact, of, you know, sustainability, wanting to use something that picks on the narrative of where you're going in it. But I think the aspiration's right. I do share the kind of the functional concerns that others have mentioned in the panel.
For the larger green space connecting to NIH, have you programmed it, or are you just, because right now we have the south, the battery park is recreation.
Yeah, the thought is that this would be a gathering place for both informal and formal activity. So yes, it could be a place for some special event in concert with the plaza that's at a higher level. You terrace down to where the trail is and the greenway. But we didn't want to say it's overly rigid in what could happen there, that it could be used for multiple activities and informal and formal social interaction.
I can see it's the center of this neighborhood here, because, you know, recreation, and then you have the most social place for the whole neighborhood, for everybody to get together. So I think for program-wise, we can think about that way.
And who maintains it? Is it part of the park system, or is it part of the private owner, or is it a shared responsibility of this new zone that has this fund that maintains and operates, you know, and takes care of the trees and the curbs and picks up the trash and all that stuff?
Right.
And that's very, very important, because making something is one thing. Maintaining it is probably even more important. It's always more important than the actual making. The making is just, you know, dollars and cents, but maintenance is ongoing and has a major responsibility.
I do have follow-up on what Elsa had talked about a few minutes ago. Next step on this comprehensive plan for the street, I mean, isn't that really a county purview that either take this and codify it, or?
Yes.
I mean, the reason I ask is that's obviously going to impact how sketch plan and site plan go forward. If there's not a basic underlying planning document that they can refer to, then building a median without your consensus. I'm just cautioning.
No, it's there are a lot of things to work out. So I think we were similarly taken with the vision and, you know, simultaneously daunted by the implementation. So it's a heavy lift, especially for
good luck. Local government.
You know, I'm going to say it again. I said this before, and it's maybe even against our document in a way. But I think everything that you're showing today is a very nice improvement, and it begins to tell a much more coherent story of what this whole district hopefully can be someday. But one of the problems that I see with this district is the lack of real connectivity, particularly down to, you know, the Norfolk Avenue area and, you know, the retail. I mean, just the significant amount of restaurants and everything, the vitality that happens there. And, you know, the basic reason is you have, you know, on top of Battery and below Battery, you have these massive, massive super blocks. And, I mean, so I would suggest, and I'm going to, which is alter to what you just suggested, is Auburn Avenue, I would extend Auburn Avenue up to here if money were nothing and going through the government was nothing and you just do it. I would say you have to do that today. It is so obvious to me that that connection should come all the way up the Battery Lane to create not just for vehicles but for pedestrians along a sidewalk of a street. And so I really, really think that even though you might not be able to acquire that today, and it might, you know, if you're going to show it as a potential trail someday, I would much rather you show that as a potential street someday and actually create, you know, a one-way street. I think you should have a very narrow two-way street there with parking, and that potentially someday someone can, you know, fulfill the vision of actually creating and, you know, breaking up at least one of the two super blocks in a way that allows easy access to Norfolk and to Auburn and to that whole district from your residential district. I just think it screams as an opportunity, and I think we should not prevent that opportunity in what you're going to be doing on that site. I think
God
we
bless
should promote
you,
it.
Yeah, actually, this morning before I came here, I drove around this three times, and I was bewildered by the fact that I couldn't make a right turn when I was headed north and then east. I mean,
you have to
drive around. Just all the way around.
All the way around.
Yeah, all the way around.
It's a gated community right now.
It kind of is, yeah.
And I can understand why people who live there might want that.
Yes.
But it's not good for...
Doesn't integrate.
It doesn't integrate. It's not good for, you know, the city, et cetera. So, I mean, any time that you can get, you know, public access into a limited access street, I think is absolutely imperative.
Yeah, you're creating essentially, you know, almost 4/5 of it already in just this plan. And so that's getting close. And then the final chunk is a parking lot right now. And it just seems like it would be a wonderful opportunity at some point if that could be built. And again, you know, as narrow as possible, but two-way and with wonderful tree-lined sidewalks. I think it would just be that would be such a nice street. And I think the value of your building facing onto that street and eventually the value of the buildings to the left of it will be vastly improved,
yeah,
as well, being
absolutely
having a street there that
absolutely
you can front.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it'd just be...
It's so obvious, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Frankly.
I think luckily for the applicant, that's off-site. So I think they could show it as a dash there.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to show it green in this drawing, you know, exactly. Just show it dashed as a future street, potential street or something.
But more important, to Paul's point, is that that loop street has to be designed so that it could then become a through street as opposed to just a loop street in terms of its dimension.
Yeah.
Are there any other comments from the panel for right now? Are you willing to take public comment? Yes? Okay. So we have Michael Fetchko, and then Naomi Spinrad, Holly Clemens, and Ellen Witt. And then Richard Foy. And if everyone could keep their comments brief, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Hi, I'm Michael Fetchko. I've lived in the Battery Lane District for over 20 years, part-time in one of Alden's buildings, and now I live and own in Whitehall Condominium. At the last DAP meeting, I don't remember who did this, but someone quoted the district as being described as a garden district, and I think that's a really apt description of what this can be, and what sort of the west end of it has started to be because of the open green spaces that are available off of Old Georgetown Road. Up until about the crossroad, all those buildings on the left definitely have open spaces with trees, flowers, shrubs, and large areas next to the sidewalk where you're not encumbered by a building, similar to what Sunrise has done in their front. We definitely appreciate the interest in creating or wanting to create a canopy quarter on Battery Lane, and definitely improving the section of the trail between Site D, 4949, and Sunrise, 4925. But we have some issues with the changes to the buildings along the front of Battery Lane, actually, and specifically with what we consider the extreme out-of-context height of the towers on the back of Site D. The Battery Lane District, it's a residential edge district. It's removed from downtown, and from residents' point of view, it doesn't need dramatic buildings or small interrupted moments of urban design. What we're looking for are well-designed buildings here next to us that are in the middle of safe, open, and accessible spaces. That the spaces and that whole design respects what's established there now. All of the open space, like I said, from west sort of to the center, to where the center crossroad is. Any Battery Lane plan should, and again, any Battery Lane plan should consider all the stakeholders, and I know you said this, Doug, when designing this, you have to be able to talk to not only NIH and the county, but all the other property owners, all the condominiums that are on the west side. And we want to work with you because we appreciate the improvement of Battery Lane. We want to see more trees. We want to see open spaces as we're walking from Woodmont to Old Georgetown. We don't want to see utility poles. We don't want to see guy wires. It would be great to have benches and trees. Not so sure about the trash cans because, as this gentleman pointed out, sometimes the maintenance of that is harder than just putting it there initially. At one point in your sketch plan 2 description, you said that Site B building has no additional setback. It's still 2025 because of its proximity to Bethesda's urban core. And we ask, we're thinking that Site B, for the very same reason, should be designed to the maximum height allowable because it's closest to the urban core. What we have now are two 180-foot towers here in the center of the north side of Battery Lane, and they have no context to anything over here. This is 160 currently, and I think it would be great if that could be raised to 180, increase the units that you want, both for units and for MPDUs, remove them from the center of Battery Lane and put them toward the proximity of the urban core, as you pointed out. We would like, so yes, reducing the height of these two towers would certainly, and I'm saying that, would certainly benefit us, mostly for sun and air. These two large towers, actually it looks like there's four of them, but the two towers are on either side here, would completely block the back of our building, and we would like to keep the grass and tree area we have back here growing as well as it does now with the access to light and air that we have. In addition to that, that's one specific, and that's one thing that's the one thing that we are most concerned about, that there is so much height in the center that has no context. I know at one point you tried to point out that there are some taller buildings back at NIH, but NIH is not part of the Battery Lane District, and the buildings that are tall are so far away and nowhere near 180 feet. So there's no context even on NIH's property at the moment. Definitely appreciate the work that you've done here to make this visually more appealing. The split of the bike lane and the pedestrian lane in this new green space might be wasting space. If I am walking from here through the park and heading to NIH the way many people commute every day, this is the most direct way. I'm not going to take a pedestrian route around. This is the only section here and north that separated bikes and pedestrians. I'm going to keep walking here. So dedicating this to bikes probably is going to cause a problem. If you'd like to keep a small path to let people into your lobbies off of this entrance, the crossroads, that's great. But I would not create this as a bike-only path, because you're going to get people walking on there no matter what. There's a description where you're looking across the street, and there's building, tree, sidewalk, tree. And can you pull up a cross section? So something like this. So this is great, sidewalk and trees. We're wondering if, since you're planning to have a median tree here, can this section and this section be joined in the front of every building so that as pedestrians, strollers, dog walkers, families are walking down the sidewalk, they have as much green space and open space between them and the buildings next to them, instead of having walls looking down on them or being far too close. A lot of these points are in a letter that several of us from Whitehall Condominium have written to you, and I appreciate that you accepted them, and I hope that you'll read them. And one last thing that I came up with, I'm sorry, can you go back to the map again? So, Paul, you were talking about using this, yes, here, to come out as a street. That would be, I don't want to talk about that now, but so this is touted as a great through block connection, and that's awesome. But this section right here, the next to the police station, the sidewalk is significantly narrow because of bollards that are there for security. And one thing that I don't think that you address is how are you going to get over that choke point? If this is supposed to be, this is going to be very open and welcoming for people to walk back and forth from the Woodmont Triangle down there, this, you can barely get one person through, let alone two people or a stroller or a bike or anything else. Totally because the police station is there, and I get that, but somewhere that has to be addressed. You have to figure out how you're going to get all those people coming down to that last 50 feet onto Rugby Avenue. And that is it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And Naomi, do you have any comments?
I just have a couple of quick comments. I don't live in that area, but I drive through it, and I don't know how many curb cuts there are or would be on the north side of Battery, but there would have to be corresponding curb cuts in the median so that cars can get in and out, and that strikes me as a nightmare for traffic. I don't know how many control points or how you control who has the right of way, visibility, and so forth. So I think that needs to be taken into account. Also, I think I asked this last time, and I'm asking it again. You talk about programming at that gathering area at Building D, but you don't talk about who's going to do it. And I know we have one other project where the developer has programmed events. Is this something that you all are willing to take on, or are you going to be looking for somebody else to do that? That's it.
Great. And now Holly.
Thank you. I'm Holly Clemens, and I live in the Whitehall. And I guess the first thing I wanted to talk about was the third tree or that median. I think that breaking up the trees with a little bit of concrete, a little bit of concrete, and a little bit of concrete, and actually putting a little bit of dirt and concrete in the middle of the road, we're having trouble with the trees just getting enough dirt and air. And we would like all the trees together toward the sidewalk, like that 10-foot sidewalk, a larger sidewalk nearer to the other picture. Put your trees and landscaping together to make a really better pedestrian feeling next to your buildings, rather than a tree in the middle of our street where the snow removal is going to have issues, the curb cuts are going to have issues, and the tree may not thrive anyway. So I'm thinking if you grab that extra green space, maybe put it together to make a larger, nicer green space for us than breaking it all up. That was one. The second one was, the poles and the electrical wires. They're never shown in your picture of how it's going to be. And if you bury them, that's great, but it's very difficult. There's like 12 of them, and it's really hard. So I'm never reading how you're going to do it. If I'm not reading how you're going to do it, then when you show our canopy and tree scape, you're not showing the poles with the trees cut way back so the wires are going through it, it's not very pretty, really. So I'm sort of saying, decide how you're doing it and let us know, because it's kind of a big view, I think, unless you show how you're doing that. Other thing was the towers being very high here, and that this building did move over here and got more highly massed. I happen to live right here, and so that is sunlight, air, everything that's coming there. We have a very large tree here, very old, very big, that I would hope that you would take into account when you've moved the mass of your building over here. Our root system is there. So we have other smaller trees, but that is a really, I don't know, everybody loves that tree, and so it's, you're coming very close to that if you could just pay attention to that when you're doing it. There's also, I guess you can answer me, there's a retaining wall and the land goes down. Are you building up to where Whitehall is, or how are you adjusting the difference in height between here, which is up, and here, which is kind of down? Are you moving, are you putting earth there to bring it
in
up?
In general, it's building, it'd come up.
It's coming
all
up.
Those details there.
So theoretically, somebody, right now, somebody walked this way through this open, they would fall right down.
For the existing.
Existing,
right.
But you're
how much we can bring that up and how that affects that's something we're still going to work.
Okay, so that right now it looks like you could do that, but you can't, so I'm just asking how. And then if you could consider that we are, like I said, the middle, in context, 120 is a height that makes sense. For the very residential area here. Here it is urban at B. Why not put your massing higher there? Why put your highest right here where it absolutely changes our quality of life, our air, our light, everything? So I think that will be up there.
Great. And then we'll have Ellen and Richard. And again, please keep the comments brief.
Yeah, they pretty much covered some of it. I guess I was very struck with how respectful you were of the residential people on the first building and how that would impact on those houses, and how disrespectful you are of the Whitehall condominium where we live, and how that kind of 180-foot building will impact on us. So I entreated you to please be more respectful of us in your planning. The other thing is, I don't quite understand the median. So right now I'm very concerned about the traffic. As we drive down Battery Lane, we're able to pull over to that bank lane where there's no bikes and make our right turn. I don't know how any of this median is going to affect the traffic. And I'm very, very concerned about that, especially since the rescue squad and the fire engines come through. And if we have to pull over, where are we going to pull over? So another issue of respect for what's there now.
All right, thank you.
Thank you all. You know where I live, and I lose the routes to the Harris Teeter. Now that that's open, thankfully for all this new development, it's brought some additional quality of life to my experience. And by the way, on Thursdays there's a prime rib special, $10.
At Harris Teeter.
Good night, Mr. and you. So, I'm sorry. This is okay. This is okay. My route down to Harris Teeter would be on the sidewalk of Old Georgetown, even on my bike, because if I cross Five Lakes of traffic, cross Five Lakes again, and get to North and South of the lake. Bike on Lucas, this great to Northbrook, down to Keystone, and then down to Battery Lane. Harris Teeter. And so this project, promises a great deal of improvement to my experience. What I see now, of course, is what you recognize, which are all the curb cuts, all the unnecessary driveway entrances that need to be removed. proximate to everything, metro, downtown Modesto, all these services, but there's no retail closer to my house. It's an urban district, but it's urban district without retail. And I just wanted, I don't hear anything about community sort of retail in this area. That would increase my walk score, and that would directly increase my, immediately increase my property value, as well as the bulk of the site. I think it's the same great minds that like, so Paul and I kind of all the same way with on a lot of things. And I, as a firefighter, greatly appreciate, as well as a pedestrian, I own a car, greatly appreciate the grid that's missing here. And it frustrates me as a firefighter, it frustrates me getting to rescues. So I look for ways of redesigning this. This is an exclusionary design. It's exclusionary. And people who are vulnerable or frail, all right, may walk through a park that has a path to a new destination, or they may not because not a few. All right, so a sidewalk or a path with a street makes a huge difference in the accessibility and usability of a connection. So I support a connection at Auburn to the Battery. I look at this connection here, this route, Keystone. I would want to look for a route to this development here that would take me down into the Norfolk district. So I would look for more, and I would look for activity. I'd like to see activities that are closer to my neighborhood, north on Battery Lane. This connection here, Library of Medicine is over here. This area here is, and again, I've not discussed this with anyone in the rescue squad or anywhere else, but I see, so the rescue squad's the dilemma, that actually dedicating land in NIH for a new rescue squad building and providing an access road here along the path would make a great deal of sense. That would allow further development at their property. I support the development and also removing, there's a chain link fence along the perimeter that NIH maintains at the request of the joining property owners. It's a legacy of when NIH was a different land use, even a golf course. So for any property owner that asks NIH to take it down, they will. And so I would ask that you consider taking down the chain link fence along the edge of your property so you better visually integrate it. It also makes it safer for people. I know people now that my chief of staff, when I worked in the county council, lived in the Camelot Mews townhouses and would not take the Medical Center Metro and walk to her house up the path because it was dark and secluded. Okay, so to open this up would be an improvement, as well as a service road. And I'm the one who has maintained this trail with this snow and I shoveled the entire length because the adjoining users would not. I want to put a shout out to Alden Management. They have done a great job on maintaining their sidewalks. I spent $40,000 on snow wool in Switzerland, maintained sidewalk from NIH to downtown Bethesda, and I can skip this part. All the management promptly and takes care of every time it snows. So they are good neighbors. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So just to summarize what we heard from the panel, it sounds like the panel is generally supportive of the vision, but has a few concerns about implementation, practical issues such as timing, parking drop-off, and other parking questions. That the programming of the park near NIH is also as an important social gathering space is something that the team needs to look into, and also potentially show an arrow for a potential future street connection to Auburn Avenue in your drawings in the future. Does the panel feel like the project is ready to move forward to site plan at this point?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Okay. So you don't need to see it again at sketch?
Point of question. Are we going to see, for 10 years, some of us will no longer be here? All of us. Are we going to look at all projects?
Just here on the
yeah. Exactly. Are we going to look at just one property at a time, or are we looking at the whole
piecemeal,
or how?
Yeah, I think they're going to come in one at a time at site, correct, Chris?
In other words, we're not doing a blanket. We're not doing a blanket for the every single site. We'll just deal with each site individually. But the reason that we asked you to come back and show us the vision for, you know, Battery Lane, you know, will be part of the parcel. So in other words, if we look at the first parcel that you're going to develop, then the Battery Lane street profile for that particular area will be part of that.
Okay. Is it still anticipated that building A will be phase one? Is that still the anticipation?
Yeah.
So at that time, you would kind of show how building A fits in with this general overall concept?
Right. Our goal is for each site plan to be in substantial conformance with the sketch plan. That's why we did the sketch plan comprehensive.
No, yes.
I understand
sketch
that.
Sketch plans all five sites, and then we're also going to be filing the preliminary plan. So each site plan would have to come forward in conformance with the overall sketch plan, which goes back to this overall district concept.
And can you remind us that A would be first? And then
A, then E.
Then E, okay.
Then C and D.
B, and then finally B, because I was hoping that A and B would come in together, because there's a certain logic to those properties.
The gateway.
Yeah, it's a gateway.
Mm-hmm. And you got a full street section.
Right, exactly. But B is the last one. Why didn't you label that E? E. I mean I think there's a little bit of
confusion
there.
Right. Well, the discussion of phasing is ongoing. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that. This is our thoughts now based on a lot of factors: age of buildings, how many units get offline, how many deliver,
right.
What the market can absorb, all those things. But I can promise you the phasing will change and evolve in response to that. We understand your point, though, that creating that strong
gateway is very, very important. Yes.
Well, hopefully by the time they get to B/E,
right,
the parking lot will be part of the parking garage will be part of the project.
Well, that would be very fortuitous.
Yeah. We may need that much time.
Yes, you may well.
So first, it's important to remember that these phases, even though they're lettered, can happen in any order.
Right.
So even after the planning board, they can move things around however they want. But I think what's important to identify at sketch plan, and I think the DAP's comments on the project should reflect this, so that they're incorporated into the findings and the conditions, is to sort of set a performance standard for that relationship between A and B. So that when B does finally come in, there's a reference point, and then we're not just starting over from scratch. So
right.
we'll make sure that happens.
Okay.
All right. Good. So how many exceptional design public benefit points is the applicant request?
I think
we asked for
30.
30, okay.
You know, we had discussion previously how that applies with the neighborhood.
Okay, so I'd like to hear the panel's thoughts on 30 public benefit points.
We're just struggling at this point, right?
Sketch.
Oh, sorry. We're still at sketch?
Yeah, because that's
sketch.
So
do you think that the project is meeting the minimum requirements?
Yes.
For the 10? And now we can take a straw vote. So the first is those in support without conditions. Those in support with conditions to meet what we said. Okay, so that's 5. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Laura?
Mm-hmm.
On the first one that we talked about, there's a coming back for sketch or they're coming back for
site?
Why?